Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kufnun Ches. It's a short daf, though. It's a rather complicated set of cases that the Mishnah discusses. Yesterday, we saw a Mishnah about what happens if a house falls on a son and his father, and they die. They appear to die simultaneously, but obviously the death of one precedes the death of the other, and we're unsure who died first. So what happens? Because the yarshim of each of the, or maybe the yarshim or the debtors of each of the, or the creditors rather, of each of the people may have differing claims to the nechassim based on who died first. So yesterday in the Mishnah we saw a case where the house falls on the son and the father simultaneously, and we saw a machlokas in the Mishnah of between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says yachloku, that you just divide, because, or the people who claim an entitlement to the nechassim divide the nechassim because we're unsure who died first. Whereas Beis Hillel said that nechassim beches kasan, that the nechassim remain in there with the person who is muchzak in them. Today we're going to discuss two more Mishnayas, the first of which deals with what happens if a house falls on somebody and on his wife, and we don't know who dies first. And we're going to see the same machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. This case is complicated because when we're talking about the nechassim of a woman, there are three categories or three classes of nechassim that a woman can actually have, which are all going to come into play, as we'll see in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. There's the ksuba, which is the obligation to pay manu, mosayim, and whatever tosefes ksuba the husband promises to the wife if he either ever divorces her or if he predeceases her. Then there are nichsei tzon barzel and nichsei milug, both of which are different types of nechassim that the woman brings into the marriage. We'll see the distinction between nichsei tzon barzel and nichsei milug in terms of what happens when she exits the marriage, but there are different types of nechassim. So the question is, are we mechalek? Is there any reason to distinguish as to what the halacha would be in certain of these types of nechassim over other of these types of nechassim? So that's the first mission. And then the second mission on Kufnun Ches Amud Beis is going to talk about yet another case of people who die in the same accident, and we don't know who dies first, where a house falls on a person and on his mother. And in that Mishnah, we're going to see that the Tanakhama holds that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that Yachloku. Rabbi Akiva comes and argues, and then the rest of the daf, the way down and into tomorrow's daf, is going to talk about a complicated case that apparently they were dealing with in Eretz Yisrael, and they gave a psak, and the Gemara doesn't understand why they gave the psak. The Gemara says that the psak that they gave is very, very difficult to understand. We're going to try to drill down. We'll probably get a little bit to Amud Aleph of tomorrow's daf, hopefully, but we'll try to see what exactly the case was and why the Gemara found the case to be so difficult to understand. All right, so let's pick up from the Mishnah. Kuf Nun Ches Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. So says the Mishnah, Nafal Abayis Alav V'al Ishto. If a house falls on a man and on his wife, and says the Rashbam, V'ein La Banim Mimenu, and they don't have any kids together. Why does the Rashbam say that? Because if they had kids together, then their children are going to be Yoresh them, no matter who died first, whether the husband died first or whether the wife dies first. It's going to go to the immediate next of kin, which is the kid. So therefore, says the Rashbam, we have to be dealing with a case where they don't have any children together. All right, so Yarshei Abal Omrim. So the Yarshim of the husband say that Isha Mesa Rishona, that the woman died first, the Achar Kach Mesa Bal, and after that, the husband died. Now, so if the woman died first, then when the woman died, the husband inherits his wife, but however, a husband inherits his wife only if the husband is still alive. If the husband predeceases his wife, the husband cannot inherit his wife once he himself is in the kever, once he himself is dead. As the Rashbam says, that the Yarshim of the Baal, who are the Yarshim of the Baal? We just said that they don't have any kids. Well, it's either his father or it's his brother, says the Rashbam. They say that the woman died first. Ve'ein li yorsha isha klum, says the Rashbam, b'chol nechaseo, and the yorshim of the woman are not entitled to any part of her nechasim, sharei abal meis achron, because the husband died last, v'yarish es ishto kodemoso, and the husband inherited all of the wife's nechasim before he died. Then when the baal dies, the yarshim of the baal are entitled to all of the baal's nechasim, which include the nechasim that he inherited from his wife. Okay. The Yarshim Isha Omrim, but the Yarshim of the woman say, the Yarshim of the wife say, that Baal Meis Rishon, the Achar Kach Meis Isha, that the husband died first, and only after that did the wife die. Now, if the husband died first, what did we say? We said that the husband inherits the wife, but only if he's alive at the time of the wife's death. If, however, the husband predeceases the wife, then he doesn't inherit the wife. So who gets the nechasim that the wife has? It's going to be her relatives. Now, who are her relatives? So the Rashbam points out again, we're talking about relatives from her father's side of the family and not relatives from her husband, obviously, because her husband is dead. Okay. Now, just generally speaking, in order to understand the balance of the Mishnah and the Gemara that follows, we have to appreciate that again there were three general types of nechasim that a woman can have. There is the ksuba, which is the mana or masayim, and then there are two different types of nechasim that she brings into the marriage. There's nichse milug and there's nichse tzon barzel. Nichse milug, the guf of the nechasim belong to the woman. The husband is only allowed to use the peiros of the nichse milug for the time that they're married. And therefore, when the husband dies, or if the husband dies, or if the husband divorces her, then the woman gets those nichse milug back as is. The woman gets the nichse milug back, whether they are more expensive, they're worth more than when she brought them into the marriage, or whether they're less expensive than when she brought them into the marriage. The woman just gets to take her nichse milug and she packs up and she leaves. Now, why does she get them back as is? She gets them back as is because the whole time during the marriage, the guf of the nichse milug belongs to the woman, and the baal only has a schus of peiros in the nichse milug, and because the guf of the nichse milug belongs to the woman, it's considered to be as it's in her possession, as if it's in her possession, and therefore she bears the risk, or she gets the reward, of any increase in value or decrease in value. And then the last type of nechasim are called nichse tzon barzel, and they're called nichse tzon barzel because nichse tzon barzel, we evaluate them at the time of the marriage, and after that, the actual guf of the nechasim go over to the husband, and the woman only has a right to repayment of whatever the valuation was at the time of the marriage. That's why their tzon barzel, they're fixed, all right? They're evaluated at the time of the marriage. The woman has the right to that value, and if they decrease in value, the husband, in addition to giving back the nechasim, or if he chooses to give back the nechasim, assuming he doesn't choose just to pay out in cash, if he chooses to give back the nechasim, has to gross up the woman to make her whole on the amount of the valuation of the nichse milug, of the nichse tzon barzel, rather, at the beginning of the marriage. And if they increased in value, then that increase belongs to the husband. Because again, all the woman has is the valuation that was made at the time of the marriage. Okay. So again, we have a case where, back in the Mishnah, we have a case where the house fell on a husband and wife. We don't know who died first. The Yarshim of the husband say that the wife died first. The Yarshim of the wife say that the husband died first, and therefore he wasn't Yorish anything, and we are Yorish everything that the woman had. So Beishamai Omrim Yachloku. So Beishamai says that Yachloku. So, and why, says the Rashbam, Sharei Maman Amutal B'Safek Hu, because it is Maman Amutal B'Safek, V'yesh Meforshim B'Yavamos B'Acholetz Dak Suva Lo Pligi Beishamai Ela Ashara. So this is important. So the Rashbam brings a Yesh Mefarshim that Yachloku doesn't mean that they divide everything. That Yachloku, and if you look in the Gemara Yevamos, it turns out that not only are they excluding the Ksuba from this, but they're excluding the Nichse Tzon Barzel from this also, because the difference between Nichse Milug, as we saw from the introduction that we just gave, the difference between Nichse Milug and Nichse Tzon Barzel and the Ksuba are like this. The Ksuba is in the possession of the husband, until he's obligated to pay it to the wife. The Nichsei Tzon Barzel are in possession of the husband because, again, all the woman's entitled to is the fixed value of the assessment at the time of the marriage. But after that, the guf of the nechassim passes to the husband. So the husband is muchzak in those nechassim until the marriage ends, in which case he has to give it back to, he has to give the value back to his wife. Nichsei Milug are the only things that the woman retains a real significant interest in, because Nichsei Milug, the guf, remains belonging to the woman, and it's only the zchus of peros that the husband has the ability to use during the term of the marriage. And therefore, there is a deya in brought down in Yavamas that when we say yachloku, we're only talking about dividing things that are maybe like a little bit of a toss-up, but things where the husband has such a strong chazaka, even Beis Shammai wouldn't say yachloku. That's one deya. The second deya that's brought down in the Rashbam is the first, which is bepashlis, that when Beis Shammai says yachloku, Beis Shammai means that we divide everything. We divide the ksuba, nichsei son barzel, and nichsei milug. Okay, so that's the shita of Beis Shammai machlokes, what exactly Beis Shammai means. Ubeis Hillel omrim, and Beis Hillel says that nechasim beches kasam, that the nechasim are that the nechasim are beches kasam. So what nechasim is Beis Hillel talking about? So says the Rashbam that Beis Hillel is talking about the nichsei son barzel, that the nichsei tzon barzel is going to be biches kasan, and in the Gemara we're going to say who has the chazak on it. But then Beis Hillel explains further, ksuba becheskas yorshei abal, the ksuba is in the chazaka of the yorshei abal, and says the Rashbam, mana masayim v'tosefes, the mana masayim, the base amount of the ksuba plus any tosefes ksuba is in the chazaka of the baal, shemaman abal roi li nosein la, Hilkach misafek lo tiseinu mecheskas abal mecheskas yarshim, because it's the husband's money. The ksuba is the husband's money. It doesn't belong to the wife. It's the husband's money, but the husband is obligated to pay that money over to his wife when the marriage dissolves. But it's definitely in the reshus of the husband now, and therefore misafek that maybe the husband died first, and therefore she should have gotten the ksuba. We're not going to be motzi the ksuba. We're not going to be motzi the mamana ksuba from the reshus of the husband. So therefore, ksuba becheskas yorshe abal, says Beis Hillel, nechasim hanechnasim vayotzimima, and the nichsei milug, which she brings in and which she takes out, is becheskas yorshe av. Those are becheskas yorshe av. In other words, in her heirs' possession, and says the Rashbam, Shemei Aviyah Ba'olah, because she brought them in from her father. And based on what we were explaining just before, we understand why the Nichsei Milug, why the Av is considered muchzak in the Nichsei Milug. The Av is considered muchzak in the Nichsei Milug because the Nichsei Milug is property that the woman brings into the marriage. She retains an interest in the guf. It's the husband who only has an interest in the peros for the time of the marriage. When the marriage dissolves, the guf akarkar, the guf nechasim, goes back to the woman. Whether they increased in value or decreased in value, not the husband's issue, because it was owned by the woman the whole time. So if it was owned by the woman the whole time, then who's muchzak in those nechasim? It's her father. She brought them in from her father. Her father retains the chazak and the nechasim. Therefore, when we have to split up these nechasim and figure out what goes to whom, the nichsei milug go back to her father. So it turns out, Beis Shammai says yachloku in this case, and again, we don't know whether he's talking about yachloku by everything or only yachloku by nichsei milug. Beis Hillel says we follow the chazaka. By ksuba, it goes to the husband. By nichsei milug, it goes to her father. By nichsei tzon barzel, Beis Hillel says something very cryptic. We don't know what he meant, but he said nechasim bechaz kasan. So let's see what that meant in the Gemara. So turning over already to Kuf Nun Ches, Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Becheskas Mi. So in whose chazaka are these Nichsei Tzon Barzel? So Rav Yochanan Amar Becheskas Yarshei Abal. So of course we have a machloka. So Rav Yochanan says it's in the chazaka of the Yarshei Abal. Rav Elazar Amar Becheskas Yarshei Aisha. And Rav Elazar says it's in the chazaka of the Yarshei Aisha. Rav Shimon ben Lakesh Mishum Bakrapora Amar Yachloku. So we have three shitos. either it's in the chazak of the Yerushei Abal, or it's in the chazak of the Yerushei Isha, or like Reish Lakish says, that yachloku in terms of the nichsei tzom barzel. V'chein tani bar kapara hoel v'halalu ban liyresh. Since both parties come with a taina, the halacha is yachloku. So what does this mean? So first of all, explaining the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So the Rashbam says, why would it be in the chazak of the Yerushei Isha? Because the Rashbam says she brought it in from her father's house. And therefore, maybe it remains in the chazaka of the of her father. And Rebbe Elazar said, no, it belongs to the Baal. Why is it in the chazaka of the Baal? Because nichsei tzom barzel, what we had said was that all he has to do is, all the husband has to do is, he has to repay the value of the original assessment of the property. Now, so says the Rashbam, shim pichsu pichsu lo v'masiro siru lo v'yachol haya lamochron hilkach lo dami linichtemi. Look, if the Baal wanted, he could sell the property and he could just give the woman the value that was assessed at the beginning of the marriage. So there's a fundamental difference, explains the Rashbam, between Nichsei Tzom Barzel and Nichsei Milug. Nichsei Milug, the Gufa Karka, remains in the possession of the woman, and therefore the Baal only has a Kinyan Peros. If the Baal wanted to sell the property, he wouldn't be able to. Nichsei Tzom Barzel actually goes to the Rishus of the husband. If the Baal wants to sell it, he can. Therefore, he's considered to be the Muksuk, says Rabbi Elazar. And then Reish Lakish says, no, Yachloku, Kid Mefarish Lekaman. As says the Rashbam, that as the Gemara is going to explain, hol va'alolu bon leiresh va'alolu bon leiresh hakol yachloku sharei l'shneim yesh tainas chazaka k'defrishesi hanolas k'defrishes, because they both have a claim to a chazaka in this property. He hanolas lei mi beis avia, she because she brought it into the marriage from her father's house. V'um he tok shekibel akrayas alav kanan, and he because he bears all the risk. If it goes down in value, it's his loss. If it goes up in value, it's his gain. Therefore, he's considered to be the bailim over this property. V'arayein kamamono, and therefore it's like his money. V'hai damri beis hillel nechazim becheskosan hainu becheskashneim v'yachloku. So Reish Lakish explains that the reason that Beis Hillel said this weird thing in the Mishnah, and this is the most mistaber really, the reason, because Beis Hillel said we're dealing with three categories of nechazim. Ksuba remains in the chazaka of the husband, he said explicitly. Nichsei Milug remains in the chazaka of her father. Beis Hillel said that also explicitly. Nichsei Tzom Barzel is becheskasan. So who's chazaka? So the answer is in both of their chazaka, because they both have a taina to it. Therefore, yachloku. So it comes out, according to Beis Hillel, if the husband and wife die, we don't know who died first. So it turns out that we sort of split the nechasim. His yarshim get the ksuba, her Yarshim get the Nichsei Milug, and both sets of Yarshim split the Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Okay, so says the next Mishnah now. Nufal Abayis Alav V'al Imo. If a house falls on a person and on his mother, and says the Rashbam over here, Kigon Shenufal Abayis Al Rachel Eshes Yaakov V'al Menusa, that we're talking about where the mother of this son, where the son's father already died. So that the house fell on Rachel, Yaakov's wife, once, and we're assuming that Yaakov predeceased Rachel, once Yaakov already died, Val Yosef Binah, and the house fell on Rachel and Yosef Binah Meyakov, Vlohoyala Od Ben Meyakov. She didn't have any other children either from Yaakov, Vlomi Ishacher, nor did she have any children from any other man, She'achshav Tanosei and Shavos. Because now their tainos are going to be even in this property. Sheyarshaya aim kagon achea meavia, that because the yarshim of the woman, of the mother, now who are the yarshim of the mother? It would be her paternal brothers. Omrim, haben meis rishon, the son died first. Vihi meis achrona, and the mother died last. Viyarshena kol nechasea, viyarshaya ben, viyarshena kol nechasea. And therefore, we, the Yarshim of the mother, are entitled to all of her nechasim, because her son, who otherwise would have been Yorisher, predeceased her. The Yarshia ben and the heirs of the son, Kigon Reuven ben Yaakov Milea, like the son's paternal brothers from a different mother, will say, Toein, Kol HaNechasim, they'll claim all the Nechasim. V'yomer, Rachel Meisatchila, they'll say that the mother died first. V'yorish Yosef as Kol Nechaseh, and therefore Yosef was Yoresh all of her Nechasim. V'yarkakach Meishu, V'yirshena Kol HaNechasim. And after that, Yosef died, and therefore we, Yosef's Yarshim, should inherit everything. So, that's the Machlokas, explains, so that's the Tainus, explains the Rashbam, rather. So the house fell on a person and on his mother. Elu ve'elu modem she'achloku. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that yachloku. So this is interesting. In the previous Mishnah, Beis Shammai had said that nechasim becheskasan. Now everybody is saying yachloku. So why is that the case? So the Rashbam explains, because over here they're both coming with equal tainas. They're both coming with a taina of Yerusha. Remember, in the prior Mishnah, one of them was coming with a taina of Yerusha, and one of them was coming with a taina of Chazaka. It's my money. Well, how are you giving away my money? In the case that we saw yesterday, where the house fell on the person and on his father, one of them was coming, one set of Toanim was coming with a Tainus Yerusha, and the other set was coming Medin Chov, Medin Balchov, because it was a Yarshim against the Ksubas Isha or the Balchov. So the claims were qualitatively different claims. Here, they're qualitatively the same type of claim because they're both claims of Yerusha. And therefore, since they're both claims of Yerusha, says the Rashbam, we are going to say, even Beis Hillel is going to say Yachloku. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Moda'ani Bezu. So he says, Moda'ani Bezu, which is a strange Lashon, because he's not admitting anything. Shanachasim Bechezkasan. That I admit that the Nechasim are Bechezkasan. So what exactly does that mean? So if you look in the Rashbam, it's about halfway down in the wide lines. So it says, Mishum Denaka Tanakama Lishna Demodim. Because the Tanakama used the Lashna Modim, the Tanakama had said, Elu Velu Modim Sheachloku. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva also uses the Lashon of Modim. Amar Iu Nami Moda'ani Klomer, Va'ani Modev Cholek. It's not that I admit, really, I'm cholik, I argue, Alecha, because I hold that also in this Mishnah, like in the previous Mishnayas, there's still going to be a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai is going to say yachloku, and Beis Hillel is going to say that the nechasim are beches kasan. And the Gemara we're going to explain in whose chazaka these nechasim may be, and what's the reason that Beis Hillel would be cholek here? But that's what Rabbi Akiva is coming to do. Rabbi Akiva is coming to say, I don't agree that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree on the halacha here. I think there's still a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel even in this Mishnah. Semar lo ben Azai, so back in the Mishnah, so said ben Azai to Rabbi Akiva, al chalukin anu mitzarin. The fact that we have already so many machlokas in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel gives us so much pain. Al ela shabasa lechalek aleinu es hashavin. You even want to create a machlokas in the unanimous decisions where we thought that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were agreeing. Now we're going to be now you're going to create a machlokas. Now you're going to create a machlokas even where we thought there was agreement. That's not right, says Ben Azai to Rabbi Akiva. So says the Gemara. So okay. So again, according to the Tanakama, everybody agrees in this case that yachloku. Because both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because they're both coming betainas Yerusha, and we simply do not know who dies first. It's a coin flip, and therefore they both divide. But Beis Hillel said, according to Rabbi Akiva, that no nechasim beches kasan. So it says the Gemara beches kas mi, and whose chazaka are these nechasim? So Rav Ila Amar Becheskas Yarshea Aim. So Rav Ila says it's in the chazaka of the Yarshim of the mother. Rav Zera Amar Becheskas Yarshe Haben. And Rav Zera says it's in the chazaka of the Yarshim of the son. So what's this machlokas about? So again, we need the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says Becheskas Yarshea Aim. Kidemafarish Lakame Hoil Vahuchzuka Nachla Laosa Shevet. Since the Nachla is Muchzak to the mother Shevet, Shakol Yemei Chaye Ha'isha La'achar Shemeis Baila, because for the entire lifetime of the woman after her husband died, Hayakol Mamona Becheskasa, all of the money of her husband was in her own chazaka, and she could be from a different shevet than her husband was. Varehi me shevet avia, and she is from the shevet of her father, because in terms of which shevet you're from, the yichus is patrilineal, even though based on whether you're Jewish or not is matrilineal. Varehi me shevet avia vafilu ksubasa v'tosefes v'tosefta shegavsa mi baila mishabo liyada. And that's why, once she takes possession of all of her husband's property, it's considered to be somehow as if it's mamon that is designated for her shevet, and therefore, her yarshim, who come from her shevet, her yarshim obviously excluding her son from Yaakov, because her son from Yaakov, as we'll see in a second, is from another Shevet, but her Yarshim claim a taina to the Nechasim, and Rav Zera had said that it's in the Becheskas Yarshia Ben, and the Rashbam explains, Mishameis Baila Haya Ben Roy Liyarsha Kodem L'chol Kravea Mitzada Av. And says Rav Zera, no, it's not in her Shevet's possession. True, when the husband dies, the Nechasim go to her, and she may be from a different Shevet than her husband, but who's first in line to inherit her? It's her son, who is from the same Shevet as the father was. So it's not in her family's Chazaka in any real respect. It's in the Chazaka of the Yarshia Ben. So we see a Machlokas here. Okay, so says the Gemara, that Kisalik Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, kam b'shitasi de Rav Ila, he adopted the Shita of Rav Ila, that it's in the Chazaka of the Yarshim of the mother, and kam Rabba b'shitasi de Rav Zera. And then Rabba adopted the Shita of Rav Zera, that it's in the Chazaka of the Yarshim of the son. So I'm a Rav Zera. So said Rav Zera, who again flip-flopped his Shita. He flipped his Shita from saying Becheskas Yorshei HaBen to Becheskas Yorshei HaEim, like Rav Ila had originally said. So I'm a Rav Zera, Shmamina, Avira Deretz Yisrael Machim, that the Avira Deretz Yisrael is Machim, a famous idiom, and now that he went to Eretz Yisrael, he was able to see with clarity the Halacha, and he was able to understand the true Shita, the time of Mai. And why would it be the case? Amar Abaye, Ahol v'uchzuk nachla b'yosa shevet. Like the Rashbam said, because the nachla is muchzuk to go to her shevet, because she has some sort of tfisa, she has some sort of chazaka or entitlement, or her shevet have some sort of entitlement to the nechasim that she inherits from her husband. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. So Amar lo Ben Azai. So Ben Azai had said to Rabbi Kiva. Remember, the Tanakhama and the Mishnah had said that Beishama Beisol agree here in this case that Yachloku, because they both come with the same type of taina. They both come b'koach tainas Yerusha. And Rabbi Kiva said, no, I still think that nechasim b'ches kasim, whose chazaka we draw on the machlokas, we wound up saying that it's in the chazaka of the yarshim of the mother. Okay, so, and then Rabbi, then Ben Azai said to Rabbi Akiva, come on, Rabbi Akiva, we're so troubled that Beishama and Mizul argue on so many different cases. Now we finally have one Mishnah when we claim that there's a unanimous decision. You're going to go create another machlokas for us? Not cool. So says the Gemara like this, Amar Rav Simloi. So it says Rav Simloi, Ada Amra, Ada, says the Rashbam, is like the word Hada. So this statement that was said, from this statement that Ben Azai said, we see that Talmud Chaver de Rabbi Kiva, that he was a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Kiva. Because we know initially that Ben Azai was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, but from the way that he addresses Rabbi Kiva in this Mishnah, we can prove that he started off as a Talmud, but he ultimately became a Talmud Chaver. So how do we see this? The Kamarle, because what does he say to Rabbi Kiva? He says, Shebasa. So because he says, if you look in the Mishnah, it says, Ela Shebasa Lachlo Kolenu Asa Shabin. Now you have come to create Machlokes, even where we thought there was agreement. Says the Rashbam, he's talking to him in second person, not in third person. If he was his Rebbe alone and not a Talmud Chaver, he would have said, Al Sheba Rabbeinu Lachlok Es HaShaven, or something to that effect. So we see from here that he became a Talmud Chaver. Okay, so Sholchu Misam. So they sent from there. They sent a ruling from Eretz Yisrael. Ben Shelava Benichse Aviv, Bechaye Aviv, a son that borrows against the Nechasim of the father while the father's alive, Umes, and then the father dies, B'no motzi miyada lekuchos. The son can collect these nechasim from the lekuchos. This is extremely cryptic. V'zu isha kasha b'dinei mamonos. So this is, what is very difficult in the realm of dinei mamonos. We don't understand what this ruling is. So says the Gemara, you're darn right, we don't understand what this ruling is. These two lines, this line and a half in the Gemara that you just told me, makes absolutely zero sense. The son borrows against the nechasim of the father while the father's alive. The son can then collect from lekuchos. So says the Gemara, I don't get it. My love, my mafik. What is the love seizing? The love, if the son borrowed money against the karka, the son is a borrower. He's a debtor. He's not a creditor. He doesn't have any entitlement to anything. And who mentioned any lekuchos here? So love my mafik. What does the love take? But oh, lekuchos my avidite. There's no mention of lekuchos here, so we don't understand what in the world you're talking about. So says the Gemara, Eli Imar Hachi Imar. This is the case in the Gemara. This is the case, explains the Gemara. So, Ben Shemachar Benichse Aviv, that if the son sells the Nechasim of his father, Bechaye Aviv, while his father is still alive, Umeis, and then the father dies, Beno Motzi Miyad HaLekuchos, that the son can then collect from the lekuchos, v'zui shekasha b'dinei mamonos. And this is what's so difficult to understand in dinei mamonos. Now, what does this mean? So again, here we need the Rashbam. So if you flip over, this is on Kupnun Chesamad Beis, all the way on the bottom, Eli'i emar hachi emar ben shemachar b'nichse yavid. So he explains everything. Kigon Reuven shemachar chelko haroi liresh b'nichse Yaakov aviv. So you have Reuven and Yaakov. Yaakov's the father, obviously Reuven's the son. Reuven is the son of Yaakov. He's standing to be yoresh, the nechasim of Yaakov. So he is standing to get those nechasim in Yerusha. But then, umeis Reuven b'chaye Yaakov aviv. Reuven then dies during the lifetime of Yaakov the father, v'archar kach meis Yaakov, and after that Yaakov dies. Now the Rashbam is going to introduce into this fact pattern a third person. So when we said the son in the Gemara, we didn't mean Reuven; we meant Reuven's son. So Reuven, the son of Yaakov, sold the chasim that he thought he was going to inherit, but Reuven predeceased Yaakov. And now Reuven's son Chanoch goes to the buyer and says, "Ah, it's mine. I get it. Be'erusha." Ve'archar kach meis Yaakov, back in the Rashbam, bo Chanoch ben Reuven. So Chanoch, the son of Reuven, comes umotzi hanechasim shemachar Reuven aviv minichse Yaakov miyada lekuchos, and he collects the nechasim that Reuven sold in the nechasim of Yaakov from the lekuchos memnei shehein roi. Why? Because Reuven sold property, assuming that he would inherit the property, because he assumed that Yaakov would die before Reuven died. However, the property never came into Reuven's possession, because Reuven, in fact, died before Yaakov died. Uchashem sharoi, ena mishtabet, says the Rashbam, kach ena nimkar. And you can't sell this contingent right. This is considered to be roi. It's not muchzuk. It was never in Reuven's rishus. Reuven can't sell something that's only roi lo, but that's not muchzuk to him. Kedetam bebechoros, beperek yesh bechor lenachla. Lo isha b'ksuba, b'ksubasa, v'lo abanos b'minoseyem, v'lo ayyabam, kulam ein notlim b'shabas, v'lo b'roi k'b'muchzak. That none of them can take b'roi k'b'muchzak. So again, based on now what the Rashbam said, so let's read the Gemara again. Eliyat maharchi yamar, turning over to Kuflan Tesamid Aleph. Ben shemachar b'nechzei aviv, Reuven sells Yaakov's nechasim, thinking that he's going to inherit them. B'chaye aviv, while Yaakov's alive, Umeis, but Reuven dies, not Meis Yaakov, Meis Reuven. Reuven dies, therefore he never is Yorish the Nechasim. But no, Reuven, son Chanoch, Motzi Miyada Lekuchos. He can say to the Lekuchos, sorry, Reuven, my father, never had an entitlement to these Nechasim. It was Roy, he never had a right to sell them to you. I'm going to pull them back to you. V'zui Shakasha B'dinei Mamonos. And says the Gemara, this is what's so hard to understand, the Dinei Mamonos. So says the Gemara, V'leim Rulei. So why don't the buyer say to him, Avuch Mazbin
v'at mapik, that the buyers could say to him, how does this work? Your father could sell, and you can undo, and you can undo the sale. So says the Rashbam, lekuchos avuch zavin, vilemerle lekuchos avuch zavin v'at mapik sha'ata yorish mimenu ba'lo eina yorish masha macharavin. They say, you Chanoch, your only entitlement to this is from Reuven, but you can't inherit what Reuven already sold. So Reuven already sold his entitlement and the Yerusha to us. You can't then come and undo that. He says the Gemara, Umay Kushya, I don't even understand why you think that this halacha is so hard to understand. Dilma Matzi Amar, Mikoach Chavua Da'aba Koasina. That Chanoch is saying, I'm not coming from the Koach of my father Reuven. It's not like I'm trying to grab back Nechasim that he already sold. I'm coming from the koach of my grandfather, that my grandfather had nechasim that Reuven thought he would inherit, but Reuven never inherited those nechasim because Reuven predeceased Yaakov, and therefore Reuven never had any entitlement to them. Deida d'chziv tachas avosecha yubanecha tashitamu lisarim b'chala aretz, that we have this idea of grandsons coming mekoach the grandfather, and says the Rashbam. So says the Rashbam again. Dilma d'amar lu Chanoch ben Reuven mikoach Yaakov du avua de Abba kasina. I'm coming directly from the Morish, directly from my grandfather. The bnei banim arayin kabanim. Because again, over here we see this concept that we've been discussing over the past couple of weeks, that grandkids in a certain respect are like kids. V'cheichid Reuven avi haya yachal liresh es Yaakov aviv ilu haya chai achrei mos aviv. Just like my father Reuven would have inherited Yaakov, my grandfather, so too I can inherit Yaakov, my grandfather, directly. I'm not coming from Reuven's chus, I'm coming directly from Yaakov's chus. Reuven, my father, never had a right to sell them. That's why I'm coming to undo the sale. And then says the Rashbam, Teda the Chanoch ben Reuven, Yorish es Yaakov Zikno, Shalomikoach Reuven, he's Yorishim directly, Dichsiv, Tachas Avosecha, Yubanecha, the Reuven Kamar, Tachas Avosecha, Dahainu Yaakov, Yubanecha, Dahainu Chanoch, Midalok Siv, Tachtecha, Yubanecha. From the fact that it doesn't say Tachtecha, it says Tachas Avosecha, we see that a grandson can inherit the grandfather directly. So we had this weird case that was brought down. We didn't understand what in the world the case was talking about. We tried to postulate that the case meant a certain thing, and the Gemara wound up saying, if the case really means, as you explained, I don't understand why you think it's so difficult to understand. It makes perfect sense that the son of Reuven should be able to pull back from the lekuchos of his father, Reuven. So we'll see in the Gemara a couple of different other explanations as to what exactly this case meant and why the Gemara thought it was so difficult to understand.